Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This is often called the U.S. electric grid. It's often called the most complex machine in the world. And who's going to argue with that? 7,300 power plants. There's 160,000 miles of high voltage transmission lines. Millions of miles of distribution lines. And what's it for? It powers our home. It powers our businesses, our industries, our infrastructure, our life. And Montana, rich in natural resources, we're going to play a big part in America's energy for future. What's that going to look like in the state? A lot of questions behind that. We're going to explore that as we go in depth. Brent Johnson from Grid United, that's the company behind North Plains Connector, a new tech high-voltage power line that's really going to bridge the east-west energy divide and open up probably some doors in this area as well. Brant is with us. Jim Acheson as well from the Southeast Montana Development Corporation. Energy back on the agenda today on Voices. Big issue it is for us, energy in Montana. A lot of resources still. We're going to be and are. We're a player in our energy future. But what does that future look like, right? I've been doing this job 6 years, and we've started early on going, the math is not adding up on this irrational rush to renewables. And so I'm hoping, you know, that always comes up. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about transitioning logically to a more carbon-friendly energy sector too. But, you know, what does that transition look like? Well, it looks like a lot of like what we're doing right now, hopefully with a lot more thoughtfulness regarding it. Let's get to our topic today. Again, it is energy overall, but nationally, regionally, and here in Montana. Jim Acheson is the executive director of the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Of course, that's the Coal Strip area, so energy is a big focus there. It's not the only focus, but they, you know, Custer, Powder River, Rosebud, Treasure Counties, a lot of things going on there. And as I, boy, is this right? Those counties, Jim, are like the size of Maryland, is 13,000 square miles. Is that, maybe you don't even remember how big it is, except when you're out there driving it, eh?
Yeah. It's a big area, Tom. Thanks for having me on as well. About 24,000 people too. So it's a very, I think it's more cattle probably than people, but good people. But it is a large area.
Yeah. That would be 1.5 persons per square mile. But you know, that's Montana. That's our frontier. Let's welcome, Brent Johnson, a brief chat with him when we were up in Kalispell a couple of weeks ago. And of course have talked with him at the Energy Open. This happened last week. It's a yearly, I think, the 20 plus years event, that the Southeast Montana Development Corporation, SEMDC, has put on. And we talked with Brant there, too, about Grid United several years ago. Really excited about the progress, Brant. You just keep knocking things out. And good morning. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning. Appreciate the conversation and the kind words.
Let's talk about where Grid United is right now. What have you been knocking out? What are we down to? And what is this
thing? We are down to, I think you mean, how much is left to do.
Yeah.
There's a number of ways to answer that question, but the one that might be most important, or at least at the top of the list for us, is how many landowners are left to sign. And we're down to less than 2% of landowners across the project, and 100% have reviewed the route and are okay with the route, and we're just working out the final stages of acquisition on just a small handful of folks. And it's been important that we do that. I wanted to make sure that we are making friends and partners along the way with the communities that we're into, and that starts with a landowner who would have an easement on their property to build something big like this. So it really has been a focus for us, and I think we've made some really, really good strides. So pretty pleased with that.
What is this North Plains Connector? Give us the, you know, the 911 on it. Sure. I mean, 411, sorry.
So the North Plains Connector is a large-scale grid infrastructure project that will connect the eastern and western grids up in the Montana-North Dakota region. And what's significant about that is the size of it. It's a DC project rather than an AC project, which we can talk about in a second. But that allows large amounts of energy to travel over a larger period, a larger piece of ground with less line losses. So with a DC tie like this, we will be more than doubling the transfer capacity across the eastern and western seam to connect the U.S. grid. There's kind of a seam around that kind of runs roughly north and south, starting in the at the border of Montana and North Dakota, where the grids just really aren't tied together. So this will more than double the total capacity in the U.S. grid going east to west.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. I mean, the grid being the machine that it's known to be. Brant Johnson again with us here from Grid United, Senior Vice President of Development there, and also Jim Acheson, Executive Director of SEMDC, that's the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Jim, talk about how, this project, when it came about, what kind of collaboration was necessary? What kind of cooperation did Montana get, or, what kind of challenges did you see in your position, and that is advocating for the economic development of your counties?
Well, good question, Tom. We've probably been working with Brant and his team, Grid United, for probably close to 2 years now, and I just want to give a shout-out to them because they're actually doing a major energy project that is kind of unusual. They're doing things correctly. Brant just mentioned the partnership with landowners, and instead of an adversarial easement type of role, they're taking more of a partnership role, and that's why he has 98% or more of the landowners have already signed up. They're doing things correctly, and a lot of energy companies may not have that kind of a reputation, so we're very excited to be having somebody of their character and quality coming to Eastern Montana. And basically, it's Brant is working in Rosebud, Custer, and Fallon counties, and that pipe or that transmission line will be heading all the way to Bismarck, North Dakota. So it's a very, very long transmission line. So we're very encouraged with the project. And of course, there is a lot of challenges. We'll have some construction things, some housing issues, but those things we welcome. And that's good for Eastern Montana and what's good for Montana. So it should be an excellent project down the road as well.
Brant, it seems a little bit unfair to say this is just another transmission line. Why?
Yeah, it really is different. Let's talk about the technology. So this kind of technology, this DC line, what that means is there's, the AC grids in the east and the AC grids in the west need to be able to talk to one another, for lack of a better term, so you can convert the AC electricity into DC, and then they can travel across and connect in between. So on either end, there's a converter station that allows that to happen. And so a large piece of equipment in Colstrip, and then another one on the eastern end that allows the different grids to connect. So in North Dakota, you've got two regional transmission organizations that both happen to have footprints that crisscross in North Dakota. So you can connect both of those organizations, which connects a broad swath of states and their utilities to the west. And that type of east-west connection is very big. It's different because you don't have a regulatory mechanism that has encouraged that type of development in the past. Everybody's got their regional interests and their particular ratepayers. So when you try to connect a large sections of the country together with different rate bases and different customer sets, how do you do that? Our owner didn't recognized that there was a gap and there was no institutional behaviors that would and regulatory mechanisms that would encourage that type of a project. So we kind of took a step into the dark and, decided, well, let's go apply private capital and figure out how to solve this problem. So that's what we've done. We are not a generator. I think that's important to note. We are not developing any transmission or any generation projects, so we can truly be outside of the discussions about, that people have different opinions on about what type of energy mix happens. We are developing projects and working with the regional utilities that all would be invited to own portions of the line. That's how it's materialized. We've got six or seven different partners that have early subscriptions to owning pieces of the project. So we're working collaboratively with the utilities, and we're not trying to decide any of the generation mix. I mean, that's kind of up to them, and ultimately we would be envisioning a project that's owned by the different regional utilities. So we truly do create an interregional project.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Right, there's enough challenges in this one in and of itself. So not a generator. We'll talk about that aspect of it too, because news today of a corporate merger between Black Hills Corporation and Northwestern Energy, and I know Northwestern, I think PSE, Avista, and others are part of this Grid United project, the North Plains Connector. Brant Johnson from Grid United, Jim Acheson with us here as well from the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Jim, of course, Colstrip, our energy center in Montana, this line is going to generate, as Brant had noted there, end up in North Dakota. What does Colstrip have to do? What has Colstrip had to do to prepare for this? And then, take us 5 years beyond that.
Well, that's a good point. So far, there's just been a lot of permitting things. Colstrip has obviously welcomed the project. I can't speak for any of the ownership at the power plants or the mine, but this just makes sense, Tom. Colstrip is the energy capital of Montana. Energy is in our DNA. And so when you have a project potentially the size of what Brant is doing with North Plains Connector Project, connecting the two grids together, starting in Colstrip and moving into North Dakota, we welcome that. We welcome the challenge. From an economic development viewpoint, it's fantastic for jobs. It's even more better for the tax base in eastern Montana, and it will create those good high-paying jobs that we all talk about and wish we had in our communities. And North Plains Connector Project will do that. So it's evolving, the project, as far as Colstrip, Rosebud County, and the state of Montana. It's evolving. There's obviously the DOE, U.S. DOE is involved a little bit, too. So we welcome the challenge, and it's going to be a very exciting next few years in eastern Montana.
Brant, what do you see in 5 years from now or 10 years? I look at this line coming in, and I think of projects like the Glendive Wind Project, right? And I know developers are very much interested in that project. It's getting some pushback. But I see, if I'm putting myself in their shoes, I'm going, hey, we've got this North Plains Connector. We have got a new resource that's going to help our company, so to speak, move energy. In that regard, what do you see down the road, maybe 5 to 10 years after this?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Really hard to pinpoint something like that.
Yeah.
Because you have so many different competing interests and ideas, and people are trying to figure out what do we do with a grid that we need. There's tremendous pressures on growth that we haven't seen before. There's big needs for a transmission. With both of the current administration and the last, recognize the need for transmission. Regardless of your preferences of renewables or traditional energy, everybody knows that we need more transmission lines. So, yeah, as you look forward to the future, we do our best to try and prognosticate and think forward and think what the world will look like 5 years from now. Let's see, today's 2030. We're currently planning to be online in 2032. So if you have a large connection at Colstrip to the eastern grid, what does that look like? Well, I think what it looks like is opportunity. It opens up, avenues for any of those things to happen. With regard to specifics on how the line will get utilized, we really will leave that to the utilities legally. I think they're all open access and they will have to be to stay like that. But when you try and think about it, yeah, it opens up opportunities for a stable and resilient electric grid where electrons can be used across the system as they're needed. So, 5 or 10 years from now, once we're in service, you have some opportunities for Colstrip to have a different energy mix if that's where it goes. Mm-hmm. I know there were some exciting things talked about at the Energy Open with regard to potential nuclear opportunities. I mean, I think there's opportunities on both sides of this project to have resiliency benefits. You know, when you think about the big weather challenges and the grid challenges, when, you know, you think specifics like Montana importing, you know, 50% of their power a year ago or a year and a half ago when it was, you know, 40 below in January, and having to buy that from expensive markets in the Western grid. Well, if we're built 5 to 10 years from now, you could reach over in the current market and have paid, you know, 10% or 5% of that same price.
Yeah.
So it just really does create opportunities to have a resilient, affordable, and just efficient system.
Yeah, and that is huge. I mean, go ahead, Jim. You want to follow up?
Hey, Tom, yeah, just a quick follow-up with what Brant was mentioning. I think in 5 years or less, you're seeing the Colstrip region, Rosebud County, evolving from a coal hub to an energy hub with coal. And Brant's project is just a big part of that with the transmission of moving electrons around the country. So we're very excited about the energy hub concept.
North Plains Connector, it's a new high-tech voltage line. It's a DC line, highly efficient. We'll talk more about that. But that's what's on the plate here today is Brant Johnson is with us from Grid United. And also we have Jim Acheson alongside, too, from the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Just kind of going back and looking at their recent Energy Open. I think it's 22 or 23 years strong in that regard. We'll talk more about that and, of course, our grid and what this opportunity for Montana means. Here's some news, though, I think that we'll also approach here a little bit is the Black Hills Corporation. This was just announced today, as a matter of fact, this morning, and we'll have more on it on our Northern News Network as well as on our social media sites. It's pretty big news where you got Black Hills Corporation and Northwestern Energy have come to an agreement. They say it's a definitive agreement to combine in an all-stock, tax-free merger to create which would really be kind of a premier regional regulated electric and natural gas utility. So that's big news. It certainly is. And we're expecting big news when we talk about our energy future because we're trying to get to a certain place with it, but we want to get it, you know, with the baby intact, so to speak. And the bathwater can go out, but let's have the baby intact. And thank you guys for coming on. It's Brant Johnson again, Senior Vice President of Development at Grid United, Jim Acheson, too, with SEMDC. I'm going to go right back to this Energy Open. And, Jim, I'll have you kick it off as well. You've been doing this a number of years. The delegation will either send or come themselves or send some comments. This year you had the new Commerce Director there. Give us an overview of, you know, what came out of that meeting.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tom. The Energy Open Conference, this is the 22nd annual conference we just had a few weeks ago, 10 days ago, matter of fact, in Colstrip. And we started it in 2004, which just seems like decades ago. Actually, it was, too.
Yeah.
But showcase the economic benefits of responsible energy development. And we're very proud of the energy story in Colstrip. Like I mentioned before, this is in our DNA, and we're just very proud of the community and the affordable and responsible energy that is developed here from coal and over the many, many decades. And so we showcase that. And real briefly, we had a conference the first day. We have numerous speakers and presentations. Yes, all three of the congressional delegation staff was there and had videos and comments from the two senators and of course, Congressman Downing. Brant Johnson, who's on the show today, was there and gave us an update on the North Plains Connector project. Christine King with INL, Idaho National Labs, and the GAIN team was there to give us an update on the SMR nuclear study that was just released about a month ago. Particular showcasing Colstrip as a very potential site for small modular nuclear reactors because of the infrastructure and the workforce, et cetera. And then we had, ironically, and Northwestern Energy there giving us an update on their the regional projects from Laurel to maybe looking at SMRs as well. And, of course, they're going to be taking over a majority ownership in the Colstrip power plants first of the year. So that was part of it. A lot of networking opportunities, just great fellowship there. We had two tours later in the afternoon and then a banquet that night with the new Department of Commerce Director, Marta Bertilio. And she's running the show at Commerce now, and was really fortunate to be able to get her to come to Colstrip and give us her insight of what's going on at the state level. And then, of course, the second day, Tom, was all golf, and we had a record number of golfers and had to import golf carts. I mean, that's crazy. But anyway, it was a great 2 days, and we certainly appreciate all the sponsors that helped us out. So.
Yeah, it is. It is a couple of good days in Colstrip, Montana. Brant, how'd you shoot?
That's funny. I didn't even get to golf this year.
Oh.
Just doing work. It's a fun course to play, though. I've done it before, and it's a I hated to miss.
Yeah, you're bumming me out right now. But what's your takeaway? What's your takeaway? You know, and I know comments are often guarded, and maybe you read into something. But what's your takeaway from all those comments from people who are decision makers in your industry?
Yeah, it's just such a good event with a broad group of people. Jim does a great job pulling people in and really highlighting the community of Colstrip and what they have been doing for the last 50 years for the energy of the U.S. Those tours are awesome. If you haven't seen the mine tour, pretty fascinating. I mean,
it is
pretty remarkable what's been going on there. The takeaways are always that for me, that's just a strong community that has been doing a lot of really great work.
Yeah,
for a long time.
Yeah, and it's gonna bust out here too. Because of that work, I think. What's your sense? And Jim, I'll ask you the same question. We got less than 2 minutes, and I know there's probably not a lot you can add to it. But what's your initial response when you see Black Hills Corporation and Northwestern Energy, and I'll start with you, Brant, combined in this merger?
Yeah, big news this morning. I haven't had much time to digest that and respond other than, we've talked with both Northwestern and Black Hills about the projects that we work on. We've got a couple of them in their combined region, so... Yeah, looking forward to figuring out what all of that means over the next couple of days. But positive stuff. I think it's good for the region.
Well, I know they were looking to shore up some anticipated shortage in energy production. This might help in that regard. Jim, what's your 45-second take on this?
Oh, sure. My first impression was wow. That's a lot of horsepower and coming together. And I just think like Brant said, when the dust settles, this will be good for Montana and South Dakota and the numerous future opportunities that are on the horizon for energy and not only generation, but transmission. So
we'll have more on that. There's a press conference with leaders from these two organizations that's scheduled for a bit later on. So we'll get into that, too, and report on it. I think it is big news, but really early out this morning. And it could change the energy sector in Montana. In fact, I think it will. Energy, we need to produce it, and we need to get it to where it's needed. We're talking about that today. The U.S. grid, often described as islands of power. What does Montana's role look like? And now bridging the east and west grids, we're talking today with Brant Johnson and Jim Atchison. Brant is with Grid United, and that's the company that is actually going to create this North Plains connector that will do that. And they probably have other projects in the works that we'll talk about. Jim Atchison is with the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation, and we'll get to the call from Skip here in just a bit. I want to remind you tomorrow, UN President Seth Bodner. We'll get him by phone, and we'll talk about this upcoming school year. There's some pretty cool new programs that they're launching there, keeping college affordable, right? We're going to plant some seeds there. And also, image and likeness. I think that's a full plate to talk about, too. I think that kind of changes the college athletic scene, too. So that is with Seth Bodner tomorrow. Senator Tim Sheehy stops in Thursday in studio. And Friday, how much do you really know about Alzheimer's? We'll You'll have a lot more in that bag on the other side of Friday. Back to our show today with Brant Johnson and Jim Acheson. And thank you guys for coming on board here. I want to get to, well, let's get to this question from Skip here, because I think it relates to the overall national grid too. Skip listening in Hamilton, KLYQ. Good morning, Citizen Skip. Hope you're doing well, sir.
And thank you, Tom, and you too. And gentlemen, thanks for coming on so we can get all the listeners at least starting to understand that that project, getting it right from the very beginning. I'm sorry for the noise. That somebody trying to get me, a commissioner, actually. But meanwhile, I thought I'd ask you about the as this study goes on, and I'm so happy you're involving people from INL. You get all the right brainiacs together, so you get it right the first time, and the products that would be used, for instance, for transmission lines, there's so many new developments in efficiency and having to do with less line loss and things like that. Will you be making sure that everything that gets built is going to have the latest in efficiency products, including not just the transmission lines themselves, but also one of you mentioned inversion earlier. When you take DC and invert it to AC, there's a loss, and there's different degrees of loss depending on the manufacturer and paying attention to that kind of thing. Are you really going to make sure that you get the absolute best equipment so that you have longevity of life and also the most efficient stuff available, and set an example with your new project? I'll leave it at that. And thanks for explaining it all to us. Bye-bye.
Skip, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, Brant, I'm going to throw that to you just as Skip has asked, but also to roll in. When we talk about our grid, we're looking at aging infrastructure. We did an infrastructure show yesterday, and we talked about this American Society of Civil Engineers and their report card. Montana got a C- overall. Nationally, our U.S. energy infrastructure is at a C- as well. So as Skip is pointing out, how do you grab that dynamic and understand it and make this project so that in 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're not worried about aging infrastructure?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, but really the opportunity we have with the technology that we're bringing in with this DC line, it really would be new state-of-the-art infrastructure coming to the United States. It's the type of thing that connects countries together in Europe, and when you think about trying to bring a big converter station like this and then a DC line between, you're talking about working with just a couple of vendors in the world and competing with governments to do it. So a big project, big infrastructure, opportunities for the grid to have a big upgrade. The technology can help form the grid and, provide broader interregional benefits. So it really is a big new piece of infrastructure that will be great for us.
And it's hard to anticipate what technological breakthrough may come. So with that, how do you make your system flexible for improving that?
Yeah, good question. I leave a lot of that to the utility partners that we have who do a great job. But what one option or one advantage of a DC line like this is that it is dispatchable in either direction. You can control it. It can act as a circuit breaker. I mean, it's really just a large dispatchable resource that that really does provide some of those interregional benefits that you're hinting at.
Jim, I'm going to have you tackle that one as well. As you note, Colstrip's been around quite some time as well, and so you may see some aging infrastructure, but aging is probably in the eye of the beholder. And part of it is it depends on who is sitting in the White House too. But what's your sense of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like Brant said, there's a lot of things that come into play that we're just dealing with. But the infrastructure, the transmission lines currently from Colstrip go west, of course, and there's some political challenges in other states right now that concern us, of course, in Montana. And of course, Brandt's North Plain Connector Project will open up the eastern part. And it just basically helps Montana and Colstrip specifically becoming not only the energy hub, but more of an intersection of moving power around. And so now we have some options, Tom, versus just one direction. Now it can go east, west, all over the place, back and forth, as the power demand needs it, whether it's 40 below in Butte or, you know, 105 above in Minnesota, that kind of thing.
And I wrote down political foolishness is what I think is going on over there. Let's, Brent, okay, talk about the grid. All right, give us a sense of how, you know, when they say that there are these pockets, there's islands, energy islands, so to speak, and then give us a sense of overall the aging infrastructure. And you know, I know you guys are putting in a new project. You probably got something in the works I want to talk about, too. But as you explore new projects, you're looking at the state of our current infrastructure. So you probably have a perspective on it we'd like to share.
Sure. Yeah, you know, not a surprise to anybody that, you know, without investing in the grid for the last couple of decades, we're behind a bit. So when you see those types of reports and you get a report card, you need to go study more to get better grades. So we do a lot of studies. We do a lot of thinking. I think a lot of folks are with us in that, trying to do the type of work that figures out what makes sense, what infrastructure, new infrastructure needs to be done, what can be upgraded, what can be rebuilt in the same rights of way, how can you use more advanced conductors or transformers? I mean, and all of that is happening, and it's happening fast. People are now thinking about this, and the new administration is focused a lot on national security and sort of the grid stability pieces as being essential to, you know, American energy dominance and the AI push with
right.
All sorts of things. So, I mean, so there's lots of energy around it, no pun intended, where you really want to figure out what it is that you can do. We're doing big interties like this one. I've got another similar project that I oversee in Wyoming, the same concept, connecting the east and west grids, and we've got a few more up and down that seam. And we're working with, you know, as we talk with other utility partners, there's lots of things that just organically come up and that we can start working on.
I'm going to drop this call into it. It's a good question. Lisa listening in Miles City, one of our favorite stations there, KMTA, 1050 AM, 95.3 FM. Lisa, you're on with Brant and Jim real quickly.
Hi. Now, this Grid United, are you a publicly traded company? And I want to know, and landlord wants to know, who will be in charge of maintaining these lines, these new distribution lines? Because we have 30 feet that has to be cleared for fire and winter for branches like winds and branches hitting the lines.
Lisa, great question. We're going to go right to that one. Brent, talk about the finances behind it. I know it's largely privately funded. I don't know if you're getting federal money, if you're looking for tax abatements, and then the maintenance of this as well. Really good question, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, really, really good questions. Could talk for an hour just about that. But Grid United itself, privately funded. We're not a publicly traded company. We're owned by an individual investor who wanted to take early risk and focus on, you know, addressing some of the intractable challenges of developing large infrastructure with the grid.
Wow.
But then the people investing with us are all publicly traded and just the public utilities that you know every day. So in terms of funding, that's Grid United, but we will be partnered with the local utilities. So how does those lines get maintained? Most of all the distribution lines on either side of our big connector, nothing changes. I mean, those energy companies who do the good job operating the grid and keeping things going, nothing really changes. For the line in the middle, we will have an operator who's experienced in running DC technology already. in Minnesota and North Dakota. That's the elite company that's been publicly announced. So same idea, though, maintaining the lines and the rights of way and all those things to mitigate fire risk. Same type of operation.
So you will third-party subcontractor working for Grid United to do the maintenance on these lines. Is that correct?
A little bit different than that, yeah. But a third party who's experienced in operating electric lines will be operating that grid. Probably not contracted with Grid United because the ultimate owners will be the utilities in a consortium fashion.
Okay, so they will have the so-called liability then for the energy that passes across your lines?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, yeah, because they will all be owning in slices, yeah, and in percentages the line together. It'll largely operate like every other piece of infrastructure.
Jim, you want to weigh in on that, and then talk to me about if there is local tax abatements or some kind of federal or government funding connected.
Yeah, Tom, there certainly would be some tax abatements available. That's a private issue or a local issue countywide, basically. So, but I'm very excited about not only the Colstrip area, but also Forsyth, Miles City, Custer County, Baker, Fallon County. We'll see tremendous opportunities for employment, not just under the construction period, but also down the road. For long-term maintenance, and also the tax base in those three counties will grow tremendously, and that's what it's about. And for some of these regional, rural areas that need good, high-paying jobs, and these are those good, high-paying jobs, Tom. Yeah. So we're very excited about that.
Well, we need the energy and we need the transmission. Data centers. Yep. I mean, you look at our projections, and we're going to be short. We're going to be looking for production and transmission. So it's good to have these things going along. Brant, I got a minute left here, a minute and a half. But what else is going on here? I wanted to ask you about, what else is Grid United doing?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Like I said, we've really focused on interties, connecting the east and west grid. So we've got this one up in Montana, North Dakota. We've got one that connects the regional transmission organization in the same sections that are connected in the sort of the mid region of the U.S. They can be connected in Wyoming. About 150-mile line in Wyoming accomplishes the same type of benefits to some different utilities. And then we've got one in Colorado, and then we've got one that would connect into ERCOT down in Texas. So that's kind of where we're focused. Just big infrastructure, grid interties is kind of our bread and butter.
Jim, anything to add?
Well, to conclude your show, Tom, it's always a pleasure to have you bring these questions up, especially on energy. And quite frankly, as an economic development professional that's been working in, southeastern Montana for the last 24-plus years, quite frankly, I've never been more excited about the future of Colstrip, yeah, and Rosebud County, including the southeastern part of the state, than I am today. And it's all because of these pending and opportunities in energy and value-added energy that are coming. So very excited about the future.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, too, because there are a lot of opportunities, a lot of challenges, but opportunities, an exciting time as well. Brant Johnson, Senior Vice President of Development at Grid United. Thank you, sir. Jim Acheson, Executive Director, longtime Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Thank you both. Be well, okay?
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.